unbelief gets in the way.
And what did I just share?
Absolutely. And I'm sharing just a tiny bit from, just to even open the service to this particular talk, it's from Mark 9:24, and I love this. Cry from a father. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Well, I think that's true of many of us. And this week, we've all been on a bit of a spiritual journey, and the feedback we've had this morning is fantastic. It's clear that the earth has shook for some of you, and me too. And it's a bit like Pilgrim's Progress, you know. We're on this spiritual journey. And I tuned in, because I do, to lots of programs, I tuned in to Joseph Prince on Thursday, and he referred to the book by John Bunyan. The title of Joseph's talk was Counting Stars in an Empty Sky. Counting Stars in an Empty Sky. Now, we all might feel a bit like that as we anticipate the future in our own lives and the life of Oasis. You don't know what lies around the corner. What I picked up from this 30-minute slot with this Singapore preacher was that a pilgrim has a destination, a vision, and determination. And as we move into this important time in our church, do we have a destination? Do we have a vision? And do we have determination? Because John Bunyan counted these important attributes for a pilgrim. And we are all pilgrims along life's way. On Thursday, we took our prayer to Father as a plea to him for what we desperately want for our future in this church, the next stage of our journey. And the words were, the strap line for our prayer was, send us your minister in the name of Jesus. On Monday this week, I listened to the teaching of Joel Osteen. And I often do. He cheers you up first thing in the morning. He goes down very well with my morning cup of tea. There are two things that are my wake-up call to the day. Joel Osteen and my cup of tea. And he was saying that we need to wait with the expectancy. Wait with expectancy, like the expectancy of a farmer who plants his seeds and then waits with confidence for the crop. Now, we've been talking about planting seeds and we're reaping what we may have sown. And some of that wasn't always good, and we can see that now. And our prayers have got to be for our government. But a farmer waits with confidence because he's sown the seed for the crop. And we don't wait doing nothing. We've prayed, we will water, we will tend it, and then know that what we've planted will grow. On Monday morning, I went to Stephanie's for this prayer meeting, and the song we heard that was played just before I spoke left me absolutely mesmerized with the words. I didn't sing them, I listened, and they went home. And I knew that I wanted it played today because I knew it was going to be important to us. Are we going to have the opportunity to play it at the end of my talk with the words? Thank you. Because I want you to focus on the words at the end. On Tuesday night, we had our home group. And it was powerful. And it took us into a reflective time of focusing on why our prayers might not be answered. And Max Lucado taught us about really understanding how we are kept from God's best by our human understanding about the divinity and the humanity of Jesus. We believe what we can and often hope for the rest. But the hope in our minds is not always the Christian understanding of hope. It's the human level of hope that can be weak and really struggles to trust. Trust to believe in the one that we make our prayers through, Jesus. This week, his teaching took us to a place where we really had to engage with Jesus' humanity and his divinity in a way that forced us to face up to the lack of our own understanding. The reality of the fact was that we simply haven't understood clearly enough that God understands our struggle. He has the answer, and it's Jesus. It's our own thinking that gets in the way. And I'm going to read this Hebrews scripture. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one that has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he didn't sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And I'm going to share something of what Max said about the humanity of Jesus. But I want to take you back, and I'm sure I've mentioned it before in the past, but when I worked in the prison. And the men that came to chapel were not there just to worship God. The front row probably was, and the next row. But the back rows weren't there to worship God. They'd come for many other reasons. Because, you see, in a prison, all the wings, all the house boxes can come together because they can't prevent the men worshipping in their faith. So, the Muslims who had the biggest turnout, along with us who had the next biggest... Now, isn't that sad? The Muslims had the biggest turnout. Next was the Christians. But it happened in the Muslim group and our group that all the good ones, the ones that were really, really worshipping, would be near the front. And for the Muslims, that meant they were near on their mat, kneeling, etc. For me, it meant that they were in the front rows of the chapel. At the back were the ones that had come together with their own agenda. And that agenda would make your hair curl because it was to do all sorts of things. It was to pass information. It was to talk about drugs. It was to talk about who they were going to get and who was going to get them. It was all sorts. Everything went on in the back row. And I often used to go and engage with the back row. And I used to say, oh, do share what you're sharing, because I love us to share. And they used to look at me and think, oh. But of course, I was actually married to an atheist. And my life was quite different, if you like. I was married to an atheist. I pulled pints in the King's Head, and I was a bit feisty. So, you know, I could think about these things and come up to them and challenge them and perhaps get them thinking. What I'm coming round to is Christmas. Christmas, well, you know, they used to answer back and they used to challenge me with things and what have you. But I used to love Christmas because they all enjoyed the whole fun of the idea, not just of Christmas, but of how do you explain the Immaculate Conception. And they used to throw that one at me. How do you explain the Immaculate Conception? And I used to look at them and say, well, I've only got to read the words. You know, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. It's there. make what you will of that one. And they used to sort of, but also it used to make them think. And it used to make them think about exactly what I'd said, reading it from the Bible. And I can remember that sometimes it was a challenge to their thinking and perhaps the beginning of a journey. When the angel Gabriel tells Mary how she will conceive and she accepts. Now, I wished I had heard Max Lucado's challenging words at that time, but I didn't. So I really sat and listened to what he had to say on the DVD. He says it like this. Think about it. It's the human Mary and the divine Spirit of God. Jesus entered the world not like a human, but as a human. Just think for a minute. The single cell, the fertilized egg, an embryo, a baby, a placenta that nourished him. The embryonic sac surrounded him. His little tiny heart split into chambers. The one who suspended stars in space lay in the feeding trough of a cow. That's our Jesus. And then the teaching from Max took us deeper still. And finally, in our prayer time, following the study on Tuesday, there was a real sense of the wall of unbelief and the lack of knowledge in the power of Christ coming down in his humanity. And we felt that he is well able to deal with our problems and our fears because he drew that close to us, grew from that cell into the Jesus with the power, the divine power that would help us as we need it. He is well able to deal with our fears and our problems. So we asked the question on Tuesday, well, why do so many of our prayers go unanswered? And this is vital for us at the moment. We understand the power of the divinity and the understanding of the humanity that together make up Christ. We need to really understand it. Why do our prayers not always get answered? And I felt during our prayer time that God was showing us our failing to understand fully, that he actually knows our problems. He knows exactly what's going on, both as individuals and corporately as a church. And we have to allow him to work for us and not overthink things ourselves, because we haven't got the power that he has. We often get in the way of our own healing and our own help for our needs by being unable to let go and give the problem to God alone. God has shown us on Thursday how to pray. He spoke to each and every one of us that were doing it. He's listening and he will answer. And we mustn't let our doubt and fear override our trust in God. We're challenged to trust Father and his choice for our new minister. He knows our problem, understands our human weaknesses. He knows our needs for what we're going to be doing in the future. So let's trust him with the outcome. We have to come into line with God's plan. And that is what Thursday's 24-hour of prayer showed me. If we truly want God to send his minister for this church to us, we need to accept our human frailty. That should we make the decision, we could well make a mistake in our choice. We have handed that choice to him alone, and now we need to leave it there with Almighty God. God knows every individual heart in our fellowship, every single one of you. He has an intimate relationship with each one of us. And we're a very diverse group. But God has brought this group together for a reason. We will play a part in reaching the lost of this area. We will do it with his choice of minister, who will be equipped by him to lead us into the future that he's prepared for us. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says this: "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." We've prayed with a request to God the Father to send us his choice of minister. And we asked, as we're told to do, in Jesus' name. That power, that divine power, and that human knowledge of everything we go through. In Jesus' name. We opened ourselves up to the work of the Holy Spirit as he led each of us that took part in that prayer vigil. I'm going to close with a prayer now, and I'm going to ask for that music to be played with the words up, and I want you to focus on those words. Let me pray. Loving Father, thank you that you met with us this week. Help us to grow into the people you want us to be, into the church you want us to be. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.